You're listening to the What is a Woman podcast, hosted by the Catholic Family Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the What is a Woman podcast. My name is Holly, and as always, I'm joined here by my mother, Mandy, and we'll begin our episode by saying,
Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto thine.
So, super excited to be back, and I've got all my internet issues fixed.
Yeah.
Well, we did get one comment on the podcast last week, somebody asking about Starlink. I guess maybe they're interested in it. I did respond to the comment, but at that point, I had only had it for about 4 hours. Right. But so far, I've had it for, 5 days or something.
Right.
And I can say that it is really good. Like, the internet is really good. The speed is really fast. It never, so far, hopefully, you know, God willing, it hasn't dropped or anything like that. And I'm really happy with it so far. So, I mean, for us, those of us living in Siberia,
it works.
I laugh when I say that because it just, I went to the chiropractor this morning. I was telling the lady at the desk, I was like, When I was talking to internet companies, the one thing they always said to me was, "Oh no, sorry, we don't service way out there." And I have to laugh when I say that because you say that way out there. Like, you, yeah. I wish everyone could see where I live because it's hilarious that someone would say way out there to me, like I'm living in the Appalachian Mountains or something.
You are very secluded though.
I'm secluded, but it's not.
It's 7 minutes.
Seven minutes
from
to
a
the
major
nearest no frills.
Major grocery store chain.
So, but anyway, yeah. I'm just blessed that we got it straightened out and there was an option for us. And then before we jump into everything, we didn't get a chance. Last week was so hectic.
Oh, it was ridiculous and so distracted.
Distracted. I was listening to the podcast back and there were things that my mom was saying that I don't remember her saying because I don't think I heard them.
Yeah.
Because I was so distracted by the children and...
By the way, they're still here.
They're still
here. But I'm not as distracted.
We're not as distracted. But I did want to say there was something that I wanted to mention last week and I completely forgot. And that was last week was the week we were leading up to the first Sunday of Advent. And yesterday, we're recording this on Monday, so you won't hear it until Thursday, but yesterday was the first Sunday of Advent, and I wanted to put it out there, and I'm going to put a link in the description on the video that I'm going to be going through the Jesse tree every day.
Yeah.
We have a Jesse tree that we made, all the handmade ornaments. And if I have time, actually, I'm going to kind of explain how I made the ornaments, or maybe even if I have time.
Well, you
I
didn't could, make all the ornaments.
Well, mine, anyways, but I know how the others were made.
Yeah.
I know how they were made. So if you want to make your own Jesse tree ornaments.
We should tell people what we did. It was 2 years ago. We had an ornament exchange.
So there was
six of us.
Six of us.
And,
six women.
And we did a set for the church.
And we did a set for the church. So each week.
Right. We would pick.
We would set out who was making what ornament so that at the end
right.
of it, everybody got a. So you had to take your ornament that you were allotted and you had to make six copies of that ornament.
Seven.
Right. Because we made one for the church. And so you would get to church on Sunday and you would have the ornaments for the week.
Yeah.
And everybody would have each ornament.
Right. Uh oh. She's not crying, but
she wants
her voice heard.
She wants to participate in the podcast, little baby Anna. So anyways, so I'm going to go through that on our Instagram channel, The Catholic Homestead. And if you follow along there, you'll see the Jesse tree and you'll see all the ornaments and you'll hear the nice story. We have a nice little book that I'm also, hopefully by the time this airs on Thursday, I just had to fix some formatting issues with it.
Yeah, your cousin put it together.
Yeah, and it'll
be a really good job.
Really good job. And it's great for the kids to follow along. Each day they put an ornament on the tree. And it's just better than the secular, traditional elf on the shelf or whatever. You know, this is what I used when we were talking in the podcast last year to replace the secular tradition of elf on the shelf.
Right.
You know, so, and actually my son this morning, he got up, the Jesse tree, mom, don't forget the Jesse tree.
Yeah.
You know, so they do love it. You know,
yeah.
They do like to, and they each take turn reading. And then I have another one that is What's it called? Preparation for Advent.
It's a stable.
It's a yeah. So it's each day. There's a each day we read from this. It's another great little flip book that my cousin put together, and we read.
And you create the stable.
And you create the stable, and you put it together. So
right. So you start with your. You have it set up right over there. So yeah, did you put this on? Did you do a little thing with that? We could call it Welcome to the Stable.
Yeah, we could call it Welcome to the Stable. Katie sent that to me too, but again, there was formatting issues with that one, so I'll have to get that. I might just rather than. I think the problem I'm having is she's Windows and I'm Mac.
Yeah.
So I might just scan them myself. But Katie, my cousin, did a lovely job putting these little traditions together, and we're going to share them with you all, and hopefully I have that ready by Thursday. I know it's a little late because Advent's already started. I meant to do this, but again, I had internet problems. So anyways, but that'll all be there. I'm going to put the links on it for you to so you can download and hopefully start these traditions. If you have your own traditions as well,
you can feel free to share those. If you have your own tradition, why don't you share it with us?
Yeah, comment and let us know what you do for Advent. And it is the season. We are preparing for the Savior, and it's a more penitential season. So
yeah, and I am unplugged.
And my mom's unplugged.
I was half unplugged yesterday. I didn't get all unplugged yesterday. So my unpluggedness, and it's Monday, so I'm only basically one day into this. Mm-hmm. But what had happened was I tried to do everything I could possibly do on the internet and get it done. And I was doing all this Christmas shopping on Saturday, and I was doing so much that my credit card got tagged as fraudulent behavior.
Somebody got this credit card. They're going to town. Better shut her down.
And so I had to get up Sunday and fix it all. So I have decided that I will check my emails once a day.
Well, that's fine, I think. Because, I think you're allowed to do that.
You know. But.
So that look for those and check out the links in the description on this video if that's of any interest. And I hope you follow along on the Instagram channel and see every day the little video that I make for the Jesse tree, because it is really fun to see it in action and put the ornaments on each day. And the one, when we get to it, it's funny. The one the kids always fight over, my two kids, because they go every other. So
right.
One day it's one turn to put the ornament on the tree, and next day. They always fight over the John the Baptist one.
Oh, really?
Oh, we've been doing this for 2 years now. Last year we had big fight. No, you did it last year. I said, guys, we've only been doing this for 2 years. So
what is the John the Baptist
it's
ornament?
It's the one that's in the globe with the rocks and the sign on Jordan's bank.
Oh.
You'll see it. It's really, I made that one.
Oh, you made it.
I'm
okay.
Not bragging, but, you know, but they, I don't know why they love that one so much.
Oh.
It's my turn to do John the
Baptist. Maybe they just love St. John the Baptist. I know I love St. John the Baptist.
Yeah, I think that must be it. But
make straight the way.
Okay. I had to say this morning, Douglas, we're on day two. Can we please stop with the John the Baptist? That's like day 22, okay? It's going to be a long Advent if you keep fighting over John the Baptist, okay? So there's that. And what else do we got? Did you have anything else?
I wanted to do a little bit of a recap of last week.
Okay.
Because we did get some comments.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't really know who that was commenting, but just to clarify some things and go back, because it does sound very harsh to the ears.
Yes, it does.
When somebody says, go do the dishes.
Yeah.
And you go, yes, I'll go do the dishes. Yeah. Okay. Nobody wants that husband.
Right.
Right. Nobody wants that husband.
But
and nobody wants to be talked to that way.
I know, but you know what? Can we just be honest and real for a second? Sometimes that is a reality for people.
It is a reality.
Not everybody is married to the perfect dream.
And there's even worse scenarios than somebody who snaps at you and goes, go do the dishes. And actually, I know somebody back when I was younger who divorced his wife because she wouldn't do the dishes.
Right.
I mean, there was other reasons, obviously. We were kids. That was bad. Friend of my brother's, actually. But anyway, his big complaint about her was she was so lazy, she didn't do the dishes. And obviously she had complaints. But anyway, their marriage didn't last. I don't think it lasted 2 years, a year, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, so these are all serious issues. And yeah. When you get married, sometimes if you have somebody that talks mean, sometimes that's, you know, the least of the problems.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're talking about addictions, being married to people with addictions.
Yeah.
You know, all sorts of things. All sorts of things can happen in a marriage where you're married to some, you know, something that someone who's just not very good.
Right.
And so the whole point of it is that this is the What is the Woman podcast. So we're talking about what women need to do to sanctify themselves, their homes, and their family.
Yeah.
And yes, children have their own list of things to do, and the husband has his own list of things to do. But if the husband chooses not to do those things, there's nothing you can do about that.
Right.
There's nothing you can do about that. Like, I mean, the other side of the coin is, in fact, you know, he's to love his wife like Christ loves the church.
But that doesn't mean that he does.
That doesn't mean he's going to.
That doesn't mean that you automatically get that. And if you don't automatically get that,
then what do you do?
Then what do you do?
Right.
Like, there are women out there that need to know what to do.
What to do, right?
And you don't get to just sit back and say, well, the husband is supposed to love himself like Christ loves the church. Well, that's a nice idea and that's a nice thought, but that's not a reality for everybody.
Right. And also, too, the other thing, I mean, because if we have to kind of put it into perspective here. Like, I mean, when I first came to tradition years ago, and I remember I was reading all these old books because it was all new to me. Everything was so new. You got to remember, I'm born in 1962. I'm born to be a feminist. I was a feminist. Yeah. Like, ain't no man telling me what to do. No way, no how. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And let me tell you, anybody who knows me knows I'm not a weak.
No. Yeah, my mom's got skin as thick as leather.
A weak little woman, you know? So anyway.
And I don't mean like you've got leathery skin. That's figuratively. Not.
I might, though.
I just realized that sounds really bad, you know, when people say, anyways.
But the thing is that I found this book, and in the back of the book, it had the duties of the women and the duties of the men. the duties of the wife and the duties of the husband. And I read it, and the duties of the wife was like, it was pages and pages. And I read it. And the duties of the husband was very, very to the point. Mm-hmm. It was not near as involved as the duties to the wife. But it was far more to the point.
Well, that's men need that.
Yeah.
Men need to the point. And
well,
direct.
Also, too, their role is pretty standard. They're the head. They're the heaviest the head that wears the crown, you know? Yeah. And I remember, because, you know, I didn't have a great, well, I mean, I love my husband. My husband loved me. That wasn't a problem. It was just a lot of secular, a lot of fighting, a lot of issues, you know? Yeah. And I remember reading it to him, and I said, you want to see what the church says the duties of the wife are? And I read it to them, and he was like, yes. Yeah. And I said, well, do you want to hear what the duties of the man are? And then I read him the duties of the man.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll strike you a deal. I said, I'll be this woman if you be that man.
Yeah.
And of course, he never took me up on the deal. Because he didn't, you know, he wasn't all that invested.
Right.
Let's just put it that way, right? So anyway, so then, but what I had decided was I have to be that woman regardless.
Of what he does.
Of what he does.
Well, and I think that is the problem that the issue is that, you know, people are like, well, the man is not doing his duty. Okay.
Yeah.
So that means that you get to slack on yours?
That means you
No,
you know.
Because at the end of the day, and I know we've said it a million times, we've said it once, when you go and you stand on your judgment day before God, he is not going to ask you what your husband did.
No.
He's going to ask you what you did. And then you see all these wives and mothers like St. Rita and St. Monica, they weren't concerned so much as what their husbands were doing. They were concerned with what they were doing.
Right.
You know, like they were more worried about how they were affecting everybody else, not how the husband was affecting the family and them.
Yes, right? So that they had to do their best to do what was required of them. And that's right. The way we are here too, right? Ladies, this is a lofty mission. So it's always like you can't change anybody else. You can't fix anybody else. You have to do the changing to yourself. So right. You have to make yourself perfect.
Right.
So regardless of what is required of the man, if you have that, if you have a man that takes that seriously and says, this is what's required of me and this is what I have to do, you know, God bless you.
Yes.
You know, and you cherish that.
And like God has blessed you.
God has blessed you. And you really need to cherish that because It's not a given.
No.
It's just not a given.
And it's not an excuse either to say, well, I wasn't given a husband that, you know, loves me like Christ loves his church. Like, this is going to sound really harsh and, oh, well.
Yeah. You know, oh, well.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
And you know, you have to make sure that you're doing everything you can do to carry your side of the coin.
Yeah. And also, too, like, I mean, that was all said at the beginning of the book, too, right? That, you know, you're here to stand beneath that cross.
Yeah.
You're here to carry it. You're here to do all the hard work. I mean, the book says it over and over and over again. And we can't. Facebook is actually a great place to see the examples of. I used to see constantly coming from men, because men have a huge complaint. They did. I saw it all over Facebook all the time, that the women were not obedient.
Right.
And the women have to be obedient. So, you know, and every once in a while, the old me would get into little battles and I would say, why don't you just worry about what the men are supposed to do and let the women worry about the women?
Well, because it doesn't serve you any purpose to be sitting there thinking about how your husband doesn't love you like Christ loves the church, and that's on him, and you can't be the best wife you can be. And I'm saying this from a place of person who fell into that trap. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't be the good Catholic that I need to be because he's preventing me from doing that. No, 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 no. Mm-hmm. That is very, very wrong mentality.
Yeah.
On my part. I was and it clicked with me recently, you know, that it doesn't matter what situation you're in. It doesn't matter if you are living, I'm just going worst case scenario here, if you're living in a pit of sin itself.
Right.
That, at the end of the day, that's where you are and that's where you've been put. So the only thing that matters and the only thing that I believe God is going to be looking at you about is how you dealt with that.
Right.
It's about how you handled the husband that you chose.
Yeah.
Like, let's not forget this. You chose that man.
There's no arranged marriages going on around here.
There's no arranged marriages going around here. So you chose that. So, you know, and I'm speaking as from myself here, you know, this is the realization that I was under, you know, my sins and my mistakes led me to where I am.
Yeah.
You know, I left the church. I did all this bad stuff. And, you know, and it's like, so I don't get to sit here and say, well, I can't be a good Catholic because, you know, he's preventing me from doing what I want to do.
Or I can't. It's not an excuse. I can't do what's required of me because, you know, how can you do that under a tyrant?
And then how can I read these stories of St. Rita and St. Monica and think.
Or St. Maria Goretti.
Any of these wives, you know, how can I look at them and go, well, they did it, but I can't. You know, I'm nowhere close their caliber. But what I'm saying is,
it can be done.
Ladies.
But I will say this because I don't want somebody saying that, you know, Mandy and Holly told people to stay in an abusive relationship.
Yeah. Like,
I'm going to give the advice that Father and I gave me. If you can't take it and it's not making you holy, then get out.
Right.
Right. But, you know, you have to ask yourself, how much can I really take?
Well, and you have to ask yourself, how much am I willing to suffer for Christ?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a matter of, and this is just my own personal opinion here, it's not a matter of, I'm not abused, okay?
Right, yeah.
I'm not physically abused, so I'm not speaking about physical abuse here. But I do have hardships and I do have trials and I do have things that I suffer and put up with. Everybody does.
Everybody does.
And you have to, at the end of the day, you have to, and I'm trying to be as delicate as possible here but it's like, you have to ask yourself, am I suffering for Christ? or do I not want to suffer at all?
Exactly.
Am I looking for the house on the perfect house on the hill? What's the expression? The green grass, whatever.
The white picket fence.
Is that why I'm not willing to endure this, because it's, you know, or am I striving for heaven?
Yeah.
What's my goal here?
Right.
And I believe that God will give you a sign or give you some sort of,
yeah,
you know, and I know we've said a million times, God will not give you something you cannot handle.
Right.
It says it in my daily bread.
And you have to believe it. You have to believe that.
You know, so like, we're not telling anyone, I don't want this to be misconstrued that, you know, while it's abuse and suffer for Christ and put up with it, you know, like it's that, like, and, but I find that, you know, people when they're, and this is just general,
because
if anybody wants to leave a comment about that, I feel like you're going to the extreme.
Yeah.
Like, but you know what I mean?
I'm going to say, like, we live in a world where they have made emotional abuse a big thing
where you don't have to put up with it at all.
And you don't have to put up with it. And I mean, I don't really, I mean, anybody who fights endures emotional abuse. Like, I mean, unless you've got a couple of saints there going, you know, dear, please don't do that. Oh, you don't want me to do that? Okay. You know, like, I mean, people don't fight like that, you know, I mean, and maybe some people don't fight in their house and that'd be really good, you know, but most people, when they're in the middle of rage,
yeah,
a lot of emotional abuse gets thrown around.
And a lot of things get said that people don't mean, and
you know. Or maybe they mean them, but whatever.
But like, what I'm saying, though, is it's like, I find, I'm just putting this out there because from my experience,
yeah,
I find that when people go to leave a comment on a YouTube channel, they always like to, or any kind of video or anything, they like to go to the most extreme scenario.
Yes.
You know, so I'm just saying that because, you know, people will always go, well, what if your husband abuses you? You're telling me you're supposed to stay through that?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Well, is that, I mean, the case? That's up to you.
Yeah, like.
You know, whatever's happened is either making you a saint or it's making you worse. And if it's making you worse, then you do need to leave.
Yeah.
Because, you know. You do need to leave because you need to be, you know, you need to be able to take the bad and turn it into good by offering things up.
Yeah.
Right? And if you can't do that and you start spiraling, then yeah, that's it.
It's like, you know, when Father tells you about, you know, doing penance and mortification.
Yeah.
Don't go around whipping and scourging yourself or wearing a hair shirt until you talk to your confessor.
Yeah. That's even better. Talk to your priest.
Talk to your priest. Like, what we're just saying is, like, you know, it's just, it's a matter of, you know, we don't want people taking what we say here and blowing it up like we said. Stay with your abused husband.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that was kind of the vibe that we were getting.
Yeah.
You know, so we wanted to.
You have to, and you have to get to a place spiritually where you can, you know, either turn it to your favor or walk away. Like, right. I mean, I don't know what else to say, but I mean, you can't. Well, why don't we move on?
Yeah.
I think we've exhausted that. You guys get our drift about that.
I think generally people do, but...
You can change yourself. You cannot change another person. And the general idea behind a rule, if it applies to you, then pay attention to it. If it doesn't apply to you, put it aside.
What rule?
Well, you know...
you mean just rules in general?
No, men have to love their wife like Christ loves the church.
Gotcha.
Yes, they do. But, you know, people are also not supposed to murder people either. That's a rule, too. But they do. Yeah. You know, people aren't supposed to steal. But they do.
So at the end of the day, it doesn't serve you any benefit. What we're saying, it doesn't serve you any benefit to say what or what not somebody's doing that they should be doing.
Right.
To dwell on that.
Right.
You know, so.
Just
either they're doing what they're supposed to doing or they're not. But at the end of the day, you need to
what
worry
matters
about
is what you control do. Is what you're doing.
Right. And that's the whole point of this.
That's the whole point.
To help you control what you can do.
Right.
Right.
Okay. So do you think we've cleared that up now?
And oh, I hope so. Or not made it worse.
Made it worse.
Anywho.
Okay.
But that means, because that was we finished off the chapter on the spirit of the will, the spirit of sacrifice. So now we're moving on to the imagination.
Yeah. And you know what? It's kind of funny. Okay. So to start off the imagination, because I unplugged for, Advent, when you do something like you unplug, I decided to replace. I said, okay, so what am I going to do instead of
that?
Going to my go-to, right? And I've developed a habit of playing Teresa Avila, her audio books.
Oh, where do you find those?
They're on YouTube, I go to bed.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, and I have both those. I have the way to perfection. Is that what it's called? The Way to Perfection? Yeah. And The Interior Castle. I have both those books. Mm-hmm. And I've vaguely read them. I haven't. Yeah. There's when you vaguely read a book, like you skim through it.
Yeah.
Or when I read a book, I really read it. Like I go every line, like with a magnifying glass. Right. So I pulled out The Way to Perfection and I thought, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to listen to it. I'm going to really, really study this book. So yesterday, after I had a pause, I'm doing my stuff and I thought, well, I'll pull out my book. So I just opened it up and practically on the first or second page was a word about the imagination. And I thought, how funny is that since we're coming up to this chapter? So I thought I'd just read to you what St. Teresa of Avila said about imagination.
Okay.
She said that the use of the imagination could be dispensed with and that her soul could give itself directly to contemplation. So what St. Teresa believes is that we could get rid of the imagination. Right? That a woman, it doesn't, you're not exactly, we could dispense with it. It's not exactly necessary. And that the mind should just be more contemplative.
Well, because some people really don't have any imagination at all.
Well, I thought I was one of those people. But this is a different kind of imagination. Oh, okay. This is when,
I guess we'll get into that.
This is when the brain goes like
maybe I'm confusing imagination with creativity or something.
Yes, yeah. Like I say that the I have
creative
no
creative imagination.
My granddaughter has a lot of imagination. Yeah. She can spin a story out of nowhere, and I can't. And I realized just recently, I'm like, man, you could never do that because I do a lot of writing, but I can't seem to write anything unless it's true.
Right.
And she can write also. It's like, where do these stories come from?
Yeah.
Anyway, why don't you start with the book?
The chapter? Okay, so chapter 17, The Imagination. A female cannot watch over her imagination with too much care because this faculty acts with great force upon the other faculties of her soul. It may be said in some sense that the mind and the heart of women are governed by her imagination, end quote.
Right. So I thought that was pretty straightforward. Just basically our heart and our mind are in fact governed by our imagination.
Right.
Right, what we make up in our head.
Okay. So, quote, for often do the most elevated thoughts present themselves to her mind under the form of an image, and God himself, through condescension to the demands of her nature, frequently invests with this form the suggestions of his grace in order to render them more pleasing and attractive, end quote.
Yeah, so, I mean, what the author is telling us there is that God does use the imagination of women.
Right.
To get his point across a lot, right? Like, and just as an example, like women really get taken away with beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you have way more than a man will ever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you see a beautiful, and so like, I mean, we got a couple of things like the beauty of a church.
Well, even something as simple as, you know, who, like, it's, you know, one of those old jokes where, you know, you're like starting to date or whatever, and they say, what do you like to do? I like to take long walks on the beach and look at the sunset.
Yeah, well, they're just dreaming stuff up in their head.
No, it's a joke.
I know.
But like women say that, not men.
Yeah.
You know, they like to look at the sunrise or they like to look out in the field and see the beauty of the landscape. And then, you know,
so
like women see the beauty in
things. So even though, like St. Teresa said, like, you know, women would do better to just ditch the imagination.
Yeah.
But God does use it.
To his purpose.
To his purpose. But we, like all things, have to be in control of it. So let's continue on.
So, quote, woman courts the beautiful rather than the true. To love that which is good, she must first view it as something beautiful, capable of inflaming the noble desires of her heart and exciting her enthusiasm, end quote.
Right. So, men go after the truth.
Yeah.
Women go after the beautiful. Now, I mean, I can speak for myself here on this. Like, I mean, the very first time I set foot into a traditional church, I was taken with, you know, the beauty of it. You know, like the beauty of it is what grabbed me, right? Well, the men are like, they would go to church because they have investigated it and they found it to be true.
Right.
Where women love the beauty, right? And also, too, like, I mean, how much the imagination, like, even if we put the church aside and we thought about the secular for a minute, like, you know, knights on white horses coming to save damsels in distress. Yeah. Like, that's how every woman views, like, you know, the man she's going to marry. Like, and she has to be able to view him like that in order to love him.
Right.
Right. So she gets this imagination going. Right. I mean, and of course, that's my complaint about the love songs. They feed the imagination. They feed
the imagination. Exactly.
Right.
Okay. Quote, she aims at the beautiful with all her powers of soul and body. And this disposition may be for her a source of the most admirable virtues or a principle of the most deplorable illusions. End right. Quote.
So here we got. I mean, so this is a. It could be this or it could be that kind of situation. It could be, what was that? A deplorable.
Oh, boy, I can't find that word. Where did it go?
Well, so the imagination in the head, like it's either used properly.
Of a principle of the most deplorable illusions.
Or, you know, your imagination's running wild and you're filling your head with illusions.
Mm-hmm.
And awful ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no reality in your mind whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, continue on.
Quote, the imagination, which is the organ, as it were, of the beautiful and the medium through which it presents itself to us, is situated, so to speak, on the confines of the spiritual world. And hence, the impression which it receives of the beautiful, although immaterial in its nature, retains some vestige of the sensible world. End quote.
Okay. So the imagine again. This is just more going on over.
Well, I feel like this book. Every time we start the chapter, it's just setting everything up,
right?
For the I don't want to say the drop, but like it's setting you up and it's painting the picture so that it can then come in with the
yeah.
What does this mean to the woman?
Right.
You know.
Yes. Right. So I mean, that's basically it. This is the imagination.
Yeah. So, quote, the enjoyment which it brings to the soul has not that calm and majestic serenity which is experienced by the mind in contemplating truth, end quote.
Right, okay, so here's it in a nutshell. Like, we enjoy the pageantry of the illusions, right? So what you know, you're reading a little Pride and Prejudice, and what the mind is, the picture that the mind... mind is painting.
Yeah.
The Mr. Darcy's and you know, all this stuff. But it's telling us that imagery and this stuff that we paint in our heads is not like truth. Truth is well marked, right? Truth is well marked. Like, we can go to theology and we can read what truth is.
Mm-hmm.
It's well outlined. This is what this chapter is saying. It's well, or this line you just read. It's well outlined. Whereas beauty doesn't have any outline. You know, like there's no outline. You don't go somewhere and read what's beautiful and what's not beautiful. And the weird part about that is that beauty is actually an absolute.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, but I thought beauty was an absolute.
Yes, it's defined by God.
Right.
But there is actually no definition of what that actually is.
Like, there isn't a list out there of everything that is beautiful and outlined and, you know.
Yes, yeah. Right?
Like, we just, I feel like we just know what beauty is, but I feel like the world has allowed itself to say things are beautiful when they're not. So now everybody's skewed on what beauty is. Well,
this is, and the book is going to tell us, the book is actually going to tell us exactly right that, because we have which is a falsehood. The beauty is not in the beholder.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. No, it's not. Beauty is an absolute. It's defined by God. If something is beautiful, it's beautiful. If it's ugly, it's ugly.
Yeah.
But,
well, for example, the kids were, you know, like all the toy catalogs come in the mail now, you know, because it's leading up to Christmas. And the kids were looking through this toy catalog, and there was this, it's from a Marvel movie. Groot. There's this character from a Marvel movie called Groot, and he's made of a tree, right? He's a tree. But it was half Groot, this Lego figurine, because my son does like Lego, so always goes right to the Lego section. And he's like, look at this, Mom. It was half Groot and half this other character, Venom, who looks like a demon, like he's a spider demon. Oh. I said, that is the ugliest thing I have ever seen in my life.
Right.
I said, that is so ugly. It was half one creature, half another. It was ugly. Okay. Yeah. And I was like, that is so ugly. Mm-hmm. And no, you could not look at that and say, but you know, somebody else would look at it and go, oh, that's so cool. That's so this. But I don't really think that anybody would say it's beautiful.
Well, speaking of toys.
It's like modern art.
Speaking of toys, we can talk about toys for a minute, because, like, especially for the girls' toys, I was online. Like, remember I said my card was getting so much use it got fraudulent there? Mm-hmm. Well, I was looking for toys, and I'm like, why can I not find a girl's toy that doesn't have a unicorn on it? Like, I'm so sick to death. I do not want to see a unicorn. And the dolls, like the modern dolls, are very, I don't know, they have an edgy look to them that is not
pleasant.
It's not pleasant, and it's not pretty.
Yeah.
Right, but people love them.
I don't get it.
You know, people just love them. So, anyway, so we know that beauty is not in the eye of the beholder, that it is defined by God. Unfortunately, there is no set of guidelines to tell us what that exactly is.
All right, so quote, It is a more intoxicating pleasure which agitates the soul instead of composing it, and at times produces such a revolution as to cause the ocean of love which has lain dormant within to overflow and to carry it off into an unknown region. End quote.
So the imagination can just carry us away. This overflowing love that's been like dormant in us can just uproot us and carry us away. And that's okay as long as it's correct, right?
Well, that's what I think the key word is here. Carry it into an unknown region.
Into an unknown region.
So as long as your imagination is carrying you somewhere good, like i.e. heaven and God.
If our imagination is going up to heaven, right? And we're thinking of the angels and the saints. Yeah. And we're thinking of Mary and the beautiful and the crowns and all that glory that is God. That's okay. But when we, if we go into other areas.
Well, the imagination gets very dangerous. It can often carry you into dark
places.
Dreary places. So you got to be careful with it.
Right.
Quote, the beautiful has not that determinate form, that well-marked outline which characterizes the true and makes it easily recognizable to all unprejudiced minds. Moreover, there is no tribunal established by God to decide infallibly what is truly beautiful and as such worthy of our love. On this point, therefore, we are more liable to error and illusion. End quote.
Right. Again. So again, they're telling us we're setting ourselves up for error here, because again, there is no tribunal to tell us this is beautiful, this is not beautiful, this is, you know, I mean, when I think about it, I think the closer one moves towards God, the more able one is to see what is beautiful and what is not beautiful, right? Because you start to see things the way God sees them.
I mean, but it gets, like, for me, if you think of, like, this is an example here where I get puzzled sometimes and I do get perplexed because, you know, let's take a flower arrangement, for example.
Right.
Okay? Like, a flower arrangement is a beautiful thing. But I've seen some flower arrangements that are not my taste.
Right.
But that doesn't mean they're not beautiful.
Right.
So I think we do get, like, you know, and I think that's where the point that I'm getting at, I think that's where the twisting of beauty design, the beholder came in. Right. Because it started as this little thing maybe about taste.
Yes.
Like, you know, like something can be beautiful and it not be your taste.
Right. And we know that from decor.
And we know that from, that's why I use flower arrangement as an example. Yeah.
You know, like
I'll take a specific flower, for example, birds of paradise. I hate that flower. I do. I think they're so ugly.
No, it's not. I mean,
they're like harsh and they're like the birds of paradise.
If anybody doesn't know what a bird of paradise is, it's a tropical plant. It looks like a beak.
It looks like a beak coming out. Yeah. And I find that, you know, when people stick them in a flower arrangement, I'm just like, oh, they put birds of paradise in there.
But I'm going to tell you, as a floral designer, like some of the most stunning arrangements when you do tropicals and you
have birds of paradise. But that's when I look at that and I go, tropical is not my taste. It's not my look. It's not my style.
Right.
But it doesn't mean it's not beautiful. So yes, in that case, beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Right.
But I'm not ever looking at it and going, it's not beautiful. It's right. still a flower. It's still God's creation. But then when you take something that is, you know, I'll go back to this example of the Groot and the half venom spider demonic looking thing. You cannot say that's beautiful. Yeah. You can't. No. That is not beauty.
Right. What
I think, though, is the world has taken this skewed version of beauty is in the eye of the beholder and twisted it that you have the, you know, or like modern art.
Yeah.
Like,
it's also
ugly modern art.
Well, and they did to the churches, right?
Yeah. I can still remember going to, you know, because we do have family that were in the Novus Ordo and they all go to the baptism or whatever. I'm not debating that. But what I'm saying is, you know, I have been in a Novus Ordo church.
Right.
For a cousin's baptism or whatever. And I was a little girl, okay? Mm-hmm. And I come from our Lady of Victory where I think everything is so beautiful and the saint statues. And this was even before we put a lot of – changed our church and I thought it was really beautiful. And then you go into these Novus Ordo churches and they got this big, ugly wooden Jesus on the it was hanging there and its arms were out. And I remember being a little girl and being like, that is the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. And I'm a little girl and I'm like, this church is so ugly. Take me back to our church, you know?
Right.
You know. So it's just.
But I mean, I do think that, I don't know if the book is going to say that, but it does kind of, the imagination and the beauty, it does connect to how united we are to God.
Yeah.
Right? Because I feel like these people that, you know, the Vatican II came in and they just ripped it. They didn't want any of that.
They ruined everything.
They ruined everything. They ripped those things out. They ripped anything.
For modern?
Sterile, modern, square, you name it.
So for me, you know, as a woman, when I hear modern anything, modern this, modern that, I'm just like, modern to me means ugly. Like, I'm sorry. You can't. If you tell me you're going to modernize something.
Yeah.
Don't.
Don't.
Just don't. Because, I mean, I don't even know how we got on that topic. But
well, because apparently beauty and the imagination are very.
Go hand in hand.
Close together. And the imagination and when what the woman is attracted to is the beauty.
Right.
So the men don't, you know, it's like, you know, when you're standing there and you're all dressed up or whatever, and you say, how do I look? And your husband goes, you look good. You know, yeah. And you're like, okay, I want a little more than that, you know.
Well, then, but you know what then puzzles me is that if the women are attracted to the beauty, and then how did these women go into these churches then and see any beauty at all?
Well, I would say that they're removed from God.
They're just removed so they don't, maybe, I guess.
You know, because
I don't know. Like, I would love for somebody who is Novus Ordo to come into our church and and hear like exactly what they think about it.
Yeah.
After being in these cold, sterile churches that look like they're, they remind me of like, you know, when you go to the hospital and they have the interfaith, you know, like spiritual place where just anybody can go.
Their interfaith chapel. Pulse or whatever.
That's what modern, that's what Novus Ordo churches remind me of, just like an interfaith community hall or something, you know?
Yeah.
But anyways, that's just something I've always wanted to hear. Like, I would really love to know what they would think after being in that and then going to our church or any of these churches out there. So.
Yeah, I don't know, because I do think, I do think it's not a coincidence that people that are moving towards God, they want their cathedrals. They want the Gothic churches. They want the pageantry. They want all the things that are beautiful.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, even, you know, when I'm in Mass and I'm looking around and I'm looking at St. Peter up on the altar. I'm looking at St. Paul, and then I'm looking at a Lady of Victory. And then I'm looking at St. Anne over in the corner, and then I'm looking at St. Joseph. And it gives you so much to meditate, like to think of and to, I don't want to use the word visualize, but, you know, like to pray and to really feel like you're in the presence.
Right. And of something also
beautiful
too,
and great.
And I guess this is what, I mean, I actually haven't read this chapter. I mean, I did breeze through it long ago. But I'm going to assume we're going to get into this deeper. But this is why we have to control our imagination, right? Because the idea is we want to surround ourselves with stuff that is going to move us to heaven and to excite our imagination. Like what God said, like, or what they said in the beginning.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, like if we fill the imagination with love stories and songs and television shows and Hallmark movies, you know, like, oh.
Well, yeah, because that's exactly it. I know we've said this podcast before, especially about the music. What are you putting into your mind?
Yeah.
That's going to carry you.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you're putting into your mind and filling your mind with, that's going to carry you away to different places, you know? So do you want to be carried away to somewhere and be thinking of something that's good and holy and beautiful? Or do you want to be carried away and let your imagination run wild to a place that's dark and, you know, or not even dark. It doesn't have to be dark. It just has to be misguided.
Yeah, or a Hallmark pumpkin patch. Or a Christmas tree farm. You know, they make those jokes about every Hallmark movie being the same. But people are, I'm going to say there's a reason that every Hallmark movie is the same. It's because that's what women want to watch.
Well, yeah, because that's what...
They want that idea of this love.
Yes. Well, because all the world is filled with silly love songs. isn't that actually in a love song?
I think it's Paul McCartney.
Or something.
Yeah.
Anyways, but it is exactly that. It's that, you know, the more you let your... And there's those who say, don't let your imagination run wild. That's I've heard that before in my lifetime. Yeah. Don't let your imagination run wild. Why?
Why?
And this chapter is going to tell us that.
I mean, the biggest thing, and I mean, we haven't even touched on this part of the imagination. The imagination that, you know, you dial somebody's phone number and they don't answer and you have them dead in a ditch.
Right.
You know, because all of a sudden all these scenarios go through your head.
Well, you know, even something as simple as, I know my husband gets home every day at the exact same time.
Right.
Right? And with the modern inventions of the cell phones, if he has to stop and get bread or stop and do this, he texts me and say, I'm going to stop and get something. So then I know, okay, well, he's not going to be home exactly at 4, whatever. But there's the odd time where he doesn't, or he forgets to tell me. And then you're sitting there, and I can remember sitting there doing the dishes or whatever and thinking, wait a minute, it's 4 whatever. Why is he not home?
Yeah.
Where is he?
Yeah.
Did he get an accident?
I wonder
if he got in an accident. And then your mind does start racing. You have to go, okay, whoa, calm it down, pump the brakes.
I mean, well, when I had teenagers and you guys were out, that was always,
that
you
was
know,
probably the
everybody
worst,
was
I'm
always
sure.
dead in a ditch somewhere.
Right.
In your head. And I had to constantly rein myself in and say, okay, the only news that travels fast is
bad news. I remember you telling me that. No, you remember saying, I said, well, no news is good news. So if you haven't heard anything, chances are.
Yeah, just say, you know.
You would know. I remember telling me that. If there was bad news, you would know because nothing travels faster
than
bad news, you know.
Right. So. Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, we'll dive in. This is just the beginning. And like I said, I always feel like the chapter is always, when we start a new chapter, mm-hmm. I always feel like it's. You're waiting to get going.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Waiting to get into the nitty-gritty.
So next week we'll continue on with this chapter. And just another, I just want to remind everybody check out the description for our Jesse tree. Oh, and the other thing I want to remind everybody before we close off, for those of you that listen and subscribe to the newsletter well, I may have been a little late this month with my internet issues. It's out, so you should be getting it soon. But I do apologize for that because I had massive internet issues and I can't do the newsletter without the internet. And I just didn't budget my time for that moving because we were told when we were moving that all we had to do was plug it in. And I didn't know I was going to be 2 weeks without internet. So I apologize for that. And I'm going to... make sure those of you that sign up for the newsletter next month, it's on time. from my part, I can't control Canada Post. And from what I heard from one of my subscribers, they didn't get their newsletter till the end of the month. That's really bad. But yeah. That wasn't on me. That was on the postal service. But that's awful. So I don't know if maybe I even have to start sending them out even sooner. But
yeah, maybe it'll be our New Year's resolution. Well, I don't really have much to do with the newsletter.
No,
your New Year's resolution too.
But I mean, you hear some people, they get it in 2 days.
Yeah, you'll have to do it before Christmas
because Christmas
gets so busy. Yeah,
Christmas gets so busy. So I'm going to start working on it now, I guess.
Yeah.
And get that out there. But anyway, so it is coming. It's in the mail. I think that was it. Do we have anything else we want to...
Nope.
Day before we wrap up.
I'm good.
All right. So we will be back. No, I'm not going to say that. I always said we will be back next week, but I don't want to say that. But we will try our best to be back next week. And we hope that you will all have a very blessed week. We hope that your Advent is off to a great and blessed start. Very penitential, blessed start.
Yeah.
So... may our Lord bless you and our Lady guide you always. And Saint Teresa,
pray for us.